you, Father, for this privilege to bring your word. Let your name be praised. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Today we're going to speak about inheritance, Christian inheritance. In the time we're living in, it's critically important for us as Christians to understand what our inheritance is. You know, when you think about inheritance, you think about something or a thing that people inherit, as in receiving an inheritance or having a right to obtain an inheritance. You know, usually you have to be an heir or be in the same bloodline before inheritance can be passed down to you. Or somebody can just bequeath you an inheritance. But in terms of Christianity, it is critically important in the times that we're living in, just because of all that is going on, all the challenges, all the unrest, all the unknowns that is ahead of us, all the panic. It is important for us to understand our inheritance and how secure it is, and how we have to pay attention to our inheritance. Let me start with Psalm 16, verse 5 to 7. The psalmist says, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The lines of my boundary have fallen in pleasant places. Surely my inheritance is delightful. I will bless the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my conscience instructs me." Praise God. That's Psalm 16. So this sets the foundation or sets the course of where we're going in terms of what is our inheritance and where do we find that inheritance. Usually, in a general sense, an inheritance is a good thing. It's a good thing to receive an inheritance. You know, sometimes inheritance might result in hardship, but generally, an inheritance is generally a good thing. So I believe, especially for us Christians, since it's a good thing, it is important for us to carry a high level of clarity regarding what our inheritance is. We must understand our inheritance, because as you're going to see in the later parts of this message, there is grave consequences for not understanding our inheritance. You know, every inheritance, when I looked at this topic, every inheritance comes with it an opportunity. With every inheritance, there will be an opportunity to experience the full value associated with the inheritance. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Let's say you inherit a rare coin from your parents or from somebody. Well, that rare coin, since it is yours, you get the opportunity to experience the full value of what that rare coin represents. That's what I mean. It's the same with our Christian inheritance. Every Christian inheritance presents us an opportunity. Remember, I'm calling it an opportunity to experience the full value of that inheritance. But it is an opportunity. Okay? It's an opportunity. It doesn't mean you will get the full benefit of it, but the opportunity stands for you to get the full benefit of it. Likewise, because every inheritance has an opportunity, it means that if you misunderstand your inheritance, or if you miss it completely, by the same token, it means that you're going to miss the opportunity to inherit what is yours. If something is yours by inheritance, you're not even aware it is yours, guess what? You will miss the opportunity to experience the value of that thing. If somebody gives you a title to a house and you're not aware of it, then you will never experience the full value of that house because you're not aware that you do have that inheritance. So for us Christians, again, it is critical for us to understand what our Christian inheritance is, what is rightfully ours as heirs, joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. Romans 8, verse 14 to 17. So this scripture here lays out the rightful claim for us to inherit, to receive our inheritance, I should say, from God. This is our rightful claim. When you think of yourself as a Christian and what is your rightful claim to your inheritance, you can stand on Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. It says this: "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery leading again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, then heirs, namely heirs of God, and also heirs, fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, so we may also be glorified with him. Praise God. So what do we have here? In this verse, this verse has set out the basis for our inheritance. It reveals the source, not only the source, it reveals our qualification, it reveals our relationship between the parties involved. And so this is our right to claim our inheritance in Jesus Christ. Here are some notable points about this verse, or the verses we just read. One, it says we are led by the Spirit of God. Now, when you think about being led by the Spirit of God, it's a very dynamic relationship. It's this, the what is being said here, it, the impression here is not that we are led by the Spirit of God, you know, on occasion. The implication here is that we're constantly led by the Spirit of God. We have a life now that is led, dedicated to be led by the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit has designated himself as our leader. The Holy Spirit has obligated himself to lead us, and it's a commitment on his part. That's why it starts off as many that are led by the Spirit of God. So that leading is sort of a permanent leading. So this is how this makes us sons of God. You see your qualification. Because as a son of God, it means you're a member of God's family. And as a member of his family, God becomes your benefactor. And this God, making God our source, the source, I should say, of our inheritance. And then the verses also said that we receive the spirit of adoption. So this is really showing us how all of this played out. This is how it played out. We receive the spirit of adoption by receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. So now, once we receive that spirit of adoption, we are adopted into the family of God. It has established our right as heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And since we are heirs, we have this wonderful opportunity to experience an inheritance promised to us through Christ. Now, the spirit of adoption dwells in every Christian to conform amongst other things that we belong to God. Now, I'm going to be very careful here. This spirit is the spirit of adoption. So the implication is that to have the spirit, you must be born again. Praise God. Now, I'm going to make certain points here, and I want to take my time because I want you to write these things down. All the benefits of your inheritance are yours to experience, but only God will set the terms for the experiencing of the benefits. All the inheritance are yours to benefit is for your benefit, but God will set the terms. And this is where Christians, we run into much problems because we ignore the terms set by God. And once you do that, it will not bode well with us. Inheritance comes in God's terms. It will also demand sacrifice. It demands the sacrificing of something that is not in alignment with his terms so that we can embrace what is new that brings us in alignment with his terms. For example, the old man that is dead and the new man renewed in the image of Jesus Christ. That's a term of our inheritance. And it also means we must have a dynamic relationship with the giver of the inheritance. In the case of men, generally people will die before you receive your inheritance. But in the case of God, the Hebrews tells us the one who lives, he lives. And so we enter into this dynamic, amazing relationship with the giver of the inheritance. This is good for us. This is very good for us. Because it's by reason of that dynamic relationship, the spirit of adoption, that he can guide us into the fullness of the terms of our inheritance, opens our understanding to the opportunities of our inheritance so we can get the full benefit of it. Now, be clear about this point. The inheritance is for us to experience, but the glory belongs to God. The glory or the fruits of that inheritance is always God's. So we can't forget that. So because of that, we are called to invest in the inheritance in a manner that brings God glory. You see, remember that God will set the terms for your inheritance. Now, take this down as well, because this is a very important point. Your perception, a person, a Christian's perception, or a Christian's understanding or awareness of their inheritance determines the extent of your engagement with the inheritance. What am I saying? Simple. What you know of your inheritance, what you think of your inheritance, how you see your inheritance, the extent of your inheritance will determine how much you invest your life to what? Engage with that inheritance. It will determine what you do with it. How you view your inheritance determines what you do with it. It will tell you your desire for that inheritance is determined by your understanding of that inheritance. How involved you are with it, your ownership of it, it all hinges on how you view your inheritance. This is a critical point. It's very important. Because when we have the wrong view of the inheritance, when we misunderstand it, or when we don't even understand it at all, then we fail to engage ourselves in what is required. We fail to engage with the terms of God so we can experience the fullness of it. There are many stories in the scripture that I'm going to use to give us examples of it. Let's start with the case of Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Now, the background is that God now creates everything, creates the earth, creates the heavens, and in the midst of it, then he makes man, makes woman, and then he makes a garden, and he sets man in the garden, and said, now I want you to tend the garden. Man is to have dominion over all the works of God. But when he came to the garden, he put the man in the garden and said, man, I want you to tend this garden for me. And we find that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. He says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work. What? To work and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. So watch what is happening. God gave them inheritance. Inheritance is the garden. It's their inheritance. God sets the terms for the inheritance. What did God tell them? What are some of the terms that God gave them regarding the garden? If God says, you have to tend this garden and take care of it, right? Those are the terms of the inheritance. Tend this garden and take care of it. Now watch what happens when man misunderstands the purpose of the inheritance. Watch what happens in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. So what's happening here? In the first place, the terms of the inheritance, God has determined that the responsibility of man regarding this inheritance is one, tend and take care of it. Two, avoid certain plant, certain tree. Those are the terms. And as long as man was abiding in this, as long as man walked in this, that humanity will keep experiencing the fullness of their inheritance. And this goes a long way. Speaking to us today, as long as we abide in the terms that God has set for our inheritance, we will continue to experience the full value of that inheritance. But watch what happens now. All of a sudden, Adam and Eve, they're no longer thinking of themselves as those who tend the garden and only taking care of it. How do I know this? I know this because when you are serving someone, when you're someone's servant, you always gain permission from them before you make a decision contrary to anything they've said to you. However, Adam and Eve began to think of themselves as owners of the inheritance. Here's another point where Christians make a mistake. You never own your inheritance. The inheritance belongs to the one who gave it to you. So Adam and Eve here are now acting as if the inheritance is theirs. How do I know? Now, when a contrary position is presented to them, they never thought to seek God's counsel, the owner of the garden. Because if they did not think themselves as owners at this point, guess what? They would have said to Satan, wait, let me go ask God. Let me find out from God exactly what you mean by what you're saying. And God would have told them, cast that serpent out of here. But they failed to do that. Because now familiarity is breeding negligence. Sometimes we get too familiar with the inheritance that God has given us, we forget God. And once you forget God, it's not going to bode well with you. It's not going to bode well with you because then we are ignoring the terms, what? Of the inheritance. So now it is their personal property. And as a result, Adam and Eve wanted to use it for their self-advancement. And there are consequences. They no longer sought the permission of God, the owner of the inheritance. They became the highest authority over the land. In their mind, we will decide what happens to the garden. And you know what happened to them eventually. Now, this is the same thing that happens to us when we do not understand the terms of our inheritance. When we fail to abide and when we fail to even know that we have an inheritance, we will miss out on an opportunity that is there already for us. Let me tell you something. There are certain things we are praying to God for that we should not pray to God for anymore. Rather, we should understand what our inheritance is and seek God and seek the Word for the terms of that inheritance. And then you will find the opportunity to walk in the fullness of that inheritance. Why pray for God to bless you when God has blessed you? Rather than praying for God to bless you, since He says, I have already blessed you in Christ Jesus. Find out the terms of the blessing, because the blessing is already your inheritance. You've received that. Find out the terms of the blessing, and then walk in those terms. Live your life in the terms of the inheritance, and guess what? You will begin to encounter many, many opportunities to express or experience the benefits of that inheritance. And here's what I mean by benefits. Let me give an example. Let's say the gift of healing. A gift of healing is an inheritance, by the way. And so you have the gift of healing. And you walk in the terms of those gifts of healing. And so you lay hands on someone and they get healed. Now, it's working through you. So you are getting the benefit, the privilege of being the one that God is using for that. But the glory belongs to God. So you can get the benefit, but the glory will always belong to God. Never forget that. Okay, because we don't want to follow the same outcome that Adam and Eve followed, because they failed to understand, they just neglected the truth and the terms of their inheritance. So our capacity to experience the fullness of our inheritance will always diminish significantly if for some reason we neglect the terms. We don't understand the inheritance. We don't even know if our inheritance is just diminishing significantly. And a lot of us Christians, we find ourselves in this place and we're struggling as a result of that. Now, what I'm teaching you is very important, because I want each one of us listening to me to come into a full understanding, a better understanding of what your inheritance is through Jesus Christ. I want you to know it. And I want you to seek God for the terms of those inheritance, so that you can begin to experience the fullness of what God has already done. So I'm asking you to pay careful heed to what I'm saying. Give these things that I'm telling you today complete attention. And I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to work this into your life. Take notes. Listen to this message over and over again. You will experience the transformative power of not only the Holy Spirit, but of your inheritance. I want you to believe this statement. I said it earlier, and I'm re-emphasizing for my sake and for your sake. With every inheritance, mark this down, with every inheritance you have, there is an opportunity to experience the full value of that divine inheritance. The Lord will not give you an inheritance and not give you the opportunity to experience it. Now I'm going to restate something I said earlier. I said with an inheritance, there is an opportunity. That means when you get your inheritance, it doesn't mean that you will experience the benefits of it right away. You must abide in the terms of the inheritance, and therein is your opportunity right there. Let me continue. I'm going to use another set of scriptures to become more explicit in my explanation, if the Spirit allows me. The scripture is found in the Numbers chapter 13 and 14. If you jot that down and read it on your own, I'm not going to read through the entire chapters. Numbers chapter 13, verse 14. If you read Numbers chapter 13, verse 14, you find Moses and the children of Israel. Now God is saying to Moses, now it's time to send the spies into the land. Send the spies to go and, examine and see what's going on in the land, right? Now, but before we get into that, let me give you a little bit of background history. I'm sure you know this very well. First of all, the children of Israel, they remained in bondage in Egypt for 400 years, or some ridiculous number of years. Well, it was all God's planning. So they've been there for such a long time. They don't even know who God is. They've become a nation there. And the time shows up. God says, I want to bring you out of your bondage. Why? You might ask God. Why do you want to bring us out of your bondage? One, you belong to me. Remember that. Inheritance. You belong to me. So you qualify to receive from me. Oh, God. God is so good. Secondly, I have promised to your forefather Abraham a land. And it's time for me to bring you into the land. It's time for me to fulfill the promise I made to Abraham. Children of Israel, let me tell you something. The reason why I must bring you out of Egypt is solely because there's a land that belongs to you, that's your inheritance, that I want to take you into that land. Me, God, I put myself on the spot. I'm bringing you into that land. I make it as a promise. I gave it to Abraham as a promise, and I gave it to you as a promise, and I'm going to fulfill it. So now, I'm going to call on heaven. You must respond. God says, let the powers of heaven come and deliver the children of Israel. And so with signs and wonders and great move of the Holy Spirit, God brings Israel out of Egypt. Hooray! Everybody's excited. Now we get to Numbers 13 and 14. And the promised land, the reason why they've been walking all this time, doing all this time, God, they've received so much grace and mercy from God, it's so now they can get into the land. And everybody knows it. Praise God. So we have God. That is God's position. God is good. He said it, He will do it. It described the land, by the way, as a land that is flowing with milk and honey. In other words, this is a good land. It's a pleasant place. So that should at least excite the children of Israel. Then He set the terms of the inheritance. Now, what God did not tell them about this land is who would be occupying the land when they got there. But that is irrelevant for God, because God that knows all things knows that because He's spoken His word, they're going to get the land. It makes no difference who's in it. You see, a lot of times Christians, we miss out on our inheritance because it's not coming in the terms that we set. We set the terms for God for the inheritance. Ooh. And then we feel like God is not giving us what He promised. But watch now. So that's God. So we have Israel. Oh, for so many days and so many months now, Israel is hearing. God is taking us to our land. God is taking us to our land. Let's march forward. And then all of a sudden, at the threshold of now going to possess the land, Israel rejects the land. Israel rejects the inheritance. They rejected the inheritance because it did not come on their own terms. You see, when God gives you an inheritance, as I said earlier, God Himself sets the term for experiencing the benefit of your inheritance. And so Israel did not like God's terms. And so what does Israel do?
Israel rejects the land on the report of others and ignores the report of God. There are two reports coming to us. One, God says one, the world says one. And we look at the one the world is speaking and say, oh, we will lean on the world rather than lean on God. When you do that, brethren in the Lord, you will miss out on the promise of God in your life. I don't care how you pray or cry or fast. The only thing the Spirit of Christ will do is bring you back to the terms that God set for the inheritance. And when you agree with it, the faithfulness of God is such that the moment you agree, the inheritance is yours. God is not holding it away from you. It's us that are keeping it away from ourselves. So Israel preferred the voice of men rather than the voice of God. And so as a result of that, they could not enter into the land. Their inheritance. Yet they were looking at the inheritance. Now, what about the 10 spies? There were 12, but then I separated them into two groups. There's the 10 and then there's the other two. What about the 10 spies? What happened to them? The 10 spies treated the land that God gave them as if it belonged to giants. You need to hear that. You need to hear that, that sometimes your inheritance, you feel like it belongs to someone else. Let me tell you something about the problem with that. Every time God gives you an inheritance and you feel the inheritance does not belong to you, you will not vex yourself in what is needful for you to experience the fullness of that inheritance. You will no longer have the motivation. You will not have the desire. It could be prayer. You have no desire to pray. You have no desire to fast. Because, why? Because when you look at your land, you don't believe it's yours. For the 10 spies, he says, no, this is not our land. This land belongs to giants. So let's leave them to their land and let us go murmur against God. When we do the faith that is required to possess our land. Ooh, did I speak about faith? Yes, I spoke about faith. Because remember, the inheritance comes by promise. Every promise unlocked by faith. Only faith can unlock a promise. And the promise is where your inheritance is locked in. And as a result, because they failed to agree with God that the land is theirs, the faith they needed to move forward to take possession of the land was not there. As a result, they retreated. There's so many times, Christians, we are at the cusp of what God has given us to experience the benefit, and we retreat because when we've looked at the land and people are telling us the land is not yours. The description of what's there, we can never see ourselves being in the capacity of taking hold of the land. We can't see ourselves preaching to multitudes. We can't see ourselves laying hands on the sick for them to recover. We can't see ourselves speaking into the government of our today for them to change and they will change. We can't see ourselves, calling on the name of Jesus on the behalf of the church and watch salvation reign. We can't do that. And so the faith and the motivation that is needful to lay hands on the sick is not there. So we call 911 for them and say, go, let the doctors determine your faith. God forbid, Christians, that we continue to give up our inheritance because it's not coming on our own terms. The inheritance will never come on your terms. It's always the terms of God. Anything you have from God and or you believe you have from God and you're spending and using it on your own terms, let me tell you something, it's not going to bode well with you. The spirit has departed from that because glory is not being given to God. Glory is not being given to God. And you will never be able to experience the full value of that inheritance because you've changed the terms of the inheritance. So the 10 spies saw failure. They saw captivity better than inheritance. Sometimes our mind will play games with us. And we see old paradigms, our old nature, our old self. We see them better than the new inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ. And then we begin to lean more and more on the old nature, old man. Instead of rising up and seeing the new horizon, the new vista that God has given us in Jesus Christ. But that is changing by reason of the anointing. Like I said earlier, in the time that we're living in, the world's going to need shelter. Do you see yourself as a shelter for the world? Don't you know it's your inheritance? Don't you know you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God? It is your inheritance. And under that shelter, it is a Christian now that the world must seek refuge from. But yet, we don't even know our inheritance. We don't understand what our inheritance is. The unfortunate part of this is that Christians today, we monetize our inheritance so much that if it's not associated with dollars, it's not of God. We've monetized the inheritance so much that it makes it so it's just carnal, it's material. If wealth is such a big deal in this world, then unfortunately Christians are not the wealthiest in the world. So you're not as blessed as some people. Well, you know, move on from that. But then we have Joshua and Caleb. Watch now. Joshua and Caleb appear to the land. They see the land. You know, they like what they're seeing. They see giants. They call the giants grasshoppers. They see, you know, they're just eager. And they come back. They tell Moses, you know what? The land is good. Oh, by the way, I saw Caleb is like, my name is on the land. When can I rise up and go take it? And so these ones were trusting in God. And as they spoke in faith. And because they were speaking in faith, the motivation for them to actually possess the land was there. Let me give you a news. You might not agree with me. If God allowed only Joshua and Caleb to go into that land by themselves, they would have taken that land. Because God can save with one and God can save with a multitude. But it wasn't in the plan of God. But let me tell you something about these two men. Because 40 years later, when everyone else had missed the opportunity to get the benefit of that land, 40 years later, it was only Joshua and Caleb right there again at the Jordan, entering what belongs to them. And Caleb made this fantastic statement that he was stronger now than when he was before. 40 years ago, 40 years older, 80 years old now, he says, guess what? I can still take the land. What am I saying to you, brethren? Do you understand the dynamic of what is happening here? That inheritance carries so much potential. So much potential God has put in what He has given to us in Christ Jesus. That the moment, that day you wake up to your inheritance, it doesn't matter if 10 years ago you missed it, but the moment you wake up to that inheritance, the moment you understand the terms of God, the moment you rise up in faith into that inheritance, good God Almighty, the mountain will become yours. The land will be subdued. And that's what happened with Joshua and Caleb 40 years later. They entered and took possession of the land by the power of the Spirit of God. It is important for us to understand our inheritance. It is important for you to know the terms of your inheritance. Not partially, the fullness of the terms of your inheritance. It is important. Do you know that preaching is an inheritance for a Christian? Or you didn't know that? That's why you're not fighting to preach. I'm not saying be a pastor. But that's why you're not laboring to go preach or evangelize. Because you fail to understand that evangelism is your inheritance in Christ. That preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ is your inheritance in Christ. You fail to understand that. But today you get it. And because you get it, go and study the terms of the preaching of the gospel. And I dare you, go and preach. You will unlock an opportunity to experience the full value of that preaching. Bless His holy name. There is a very poignant illustration that we can find in the parable of the prodigal sons. It's a lengthy reading, so just make a note of it. You can read it on yourself. In Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 32, speaks about a man with two sons and the story of their relationship with their father. Very, very fascinating story. Let's talk about the first son, the younger son. First of all, the younger son one day came up to the father and claimed ownership of his inheritance. The moment you begin to do that, the moment you lose it, you're going to lose it all. From that moment, the father knew he's lost it all. The son did not know he lost it, but the father knew you lost it all. You have no inheritance. And the moment the father gave him, said, okay, yeah, you want your inheritance? Here's your inheritance. What did the son do? He put a distance between him and the father. What does that mean? You see, because he claims ownership. In other words, the father does not have to tell him how to dispose of this inheritance. Father, you have no value or word or say in this inheritance anymore. It's mine. Brethren in the Lord, the moment you make that mistake, you've lost it all. Everything is gone. Gone, gone, gonzo. So you put a distance between him and his father. And once you do that, guess what follows? That inheritance will no longer serve the purpose of the Father. Remember, I said that the fruits of our inheritance is for the glory of God. So this young man, you take what God has given you, and you move away from God, and you spend it on yourself, and you're no longer giving God glory, but you claim you're giving God glory, but God is not glorified in the mess that you're living in. Oh, but yes, you still have a lot of money. You're throwing money all over the place, but you're claiming that it's of God, but no, it's not of God, because guess what? God is not glorified in that mess. God is not glorified in it. The inheritance is no longer serving the purpose of the Father. Once you distance yourself from the terms of the inheritance, you can be wherever you are. You can be on YouTube all you want. You can be on national TV all you want. You can be on CNN. Be wherever you are. Speak whatever you want to speak. It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter what we say to one another. What matters is what God knows. God knows that a lot of us Christians have received our inheritance and we've distanced ourselves from God, and we're no longer giving God glory, but we're giving the God of materialism glory. We're giving the God of the flesh glory. And this is what this young man did. He waited and wasted it on self-pleasure. But you know, the goodness of God is such. The goodness of God is such that no matter the distance we put between us and God, we never stop being His son. We never stop being the child of God. Oh, you didn't get that. You see, as long as you're an heir, you have an inheritance. Ooh, you can squander what you want. I'm not saying to go squander it, but I'm saying you can squander that. But because you're a son, you are always an heir. So I'm saying, why am I saying this? I'm saying for some of us, we need to repent and return back to God. We need to return like this young fella did. Because he always remained a son. And then all of a sudden, what happened with this man, with this young fella, is that another father figure came into his life. He first had his father at home. Now another father figure is in his life. And this one is treating him like a slave. The other one would treat him like a son. God would treat you like a son. When you distance yourself with your inheritance away from God, who your master at that point would treat you like a slave. Your inheritance turns out to enslave you, and you have a new master. You will dance to the tune of that master until the day we return to the terms of our inheritance like this young lad and go back to my father's house. Outside, every time we go away from the terms of the inheritance, death will come in. That death is a separation from God. A separation from the fullness of the inheritance from God. Don't you recognize that the purpose of the inheritance in the first place is so that God can equip you to become the image of His own Son? Good God Almighty, think about it. When your parents are leaving an inheritance for you, they're leaving it so that you can enjoy some of the wealth that they're leaving behind you. So that when someone looks at you, they say, ah, look what the parents did for him or her. God has given us these inheritances so that we can come into the image of Jesus Christ. We can be a joint heir of Christ and receive those promises by faith and carry an expression that brings Him glory. But outside of the Father's will, outside of the Father's terms, there is death that comes.
The expression is no longer giving God glory.
The material trappings can all be there, but the expressions no longer give God glory. Now we have another son who stayed at home. You know, for this son, he did not understand his inheritance as a son. So this is where the problem is, that when we sometimes don't understand what our inheritance is, and so when we approach God like a slave and not a son. You see, this young fellow was approaching his father as a slave, as a servant, and not a son. And as long as he kept doing that, he was missing out on the opportunity to experience the full value of the assets of the father. So he lived his life like that. Thank God that his younger brother was crazy and went home. But the moment that one came home, the father recognized him as a son. And guess what? Put the ring back in. He said, son, you're my son. You are still an heir in this house. I still have your inheritance. Ooh, good God. He made him, he reinstated his son. But the other older brother now, because all his life is missing out on the opportunities, because he failed to understand his inheritance. Don't fail to understand what your true inheritance is. As a Christian, you must search scripture to know your inheritance. Because when you understand your inheritance and you know the terms of your inheritance, this young fella, he would have had the opportunity, if you wanted to have a party, have a party. You want to kill a goat, kill a goat. You want to ride a horse, ride a horse. It's all there for you, my son. He says, as long as you stay with me, you will always have the opportunity to unlock the mystery of your inheritance in Christ and experience the full benefits of it. And the glory will be God's. Praise the name of Jesus. So the fruit of our inheritance is for the glory of God. And that's why God will bless us in such a manner. Because he's looking for the fruits. Because the fruit will be a direct expression. Direct expression of the nature of your inheritance. And it will always point back to God. For his praise and his glory. Now the $1 million question. What is my inheritance? What is my inheritance? I'm going to point you in the right direction. Because I can't exhaust what your inheritance is. I'm going to point you in the right direction. And then when after I point you in the right direction, then it becomes your burden, to go actually and seek out and search out your inheritance. I've mentioned a few earlier. Praying is an inheritance from God. Preaching is an inheritance. Witnessing for Jesus is what we have inherited. Praise God. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 3 to 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. He says, for his divine power, watch now, has bestowed on us, I love it, I'm reading the Amplified, absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life. Dynamic spiritual life. Why is it dynamic? Remember, because as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That leading of the Holy Spirit is that dynamic life. It goes both ways, right? And life and godliness through a true and personal knowledge of who? Jesus Christ, who called us by his own glory and excellence. Watch, verse 4. For by these he has bestowed on us his precious and magnificent promises. Precious and magnificent promises he has given to us. The key word there is promises. The promises. He says the promises are described here as inexpressible value, so that by them you may escape from the immoral freedom that is in the world because of disreputable desire and become sharers of the divine nature. Praise the name of Jesus. The promises. The promises of God are your inheritance. All of our inheritance come as a promise, so it will be by faith. I will bless you, God says. That's your inheritance. So it will be by faith. So if you inquire of God and understand the terms of the blessing, the inheritance will manifest. And once the inheritance manifests, you get the benefit of it as you walk in the terms of the inheritance. And guess what? The expression of that inheritance works in and through your life and gives God's glory. So all the inheritance we have come through promise, and it's sealed and secured, wow, through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So it is in Christ Jesus that we find all of our inheritance. The good thing about it is that there's nothing evil and bad in Christ. So your inheritance cannot be inherently evil because it's coming in and through Christ. God qualifies us to receive as joint heirs together with Christ this inheritance from the kingdom of God. Now go with me to Ephesians 1 verse 3 to 5. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 to 5. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with what? Every spiritual blessing in Christ. We have been blessed by God with every spiritual blessing that is found in Jesus Christ, not outside of Christ. Brethren in the Lord, do you understand that? That the terms of this inheritance has mandated by God that it's only in Christ that you get this inheritance. So I'm sorry, if you're not a Christian, this is not your lot. But my prayer is, as you, if you're listening to me, that you will give your life to Jesus and begin to experience the fullness of this inheritance. Let me tell you something about this inheritance. It is in Christ. And this is the promise that will make you think, speak, look, act like Jesus. This is the access we have, our inheritance. But it becomes God to set the terms so that we are not wayward like Adam and Eve. Like the children of Israel with our inheritance. He said, God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love, predestined us for adoption to what? Sonship. Do you see it again? Sonship. Through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and his will. To sonship, he predestined us. Why? Because he has an inheritance for you and I. Yes, the only way you can get it, my child, is you must be my son. My child, a child of God. Male, female, child of God. You must become a child of God. And God predestined us. God did the heavy lifting in Christ for our salvation. Okay? God loved us. He predestined. He planned it. Now, all we do is receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. That's the term. Now, once you've done that, now you are joint heir together with Christ. And now, you get the inheritance. But what you get is the opportunity to experience the fullness of your inheritance in Christ. Has he called you to be a prophet? Do you understand that's an inheritance? Do you understand? Because it's an inheritance, you cannot walk in your prophetic office on your own terms. Do you get that? It must be on the terms of God so that the outcome of the fruit of your prophecy brings God glory. Brings him honor because the fruits are his. He sets up the vineyard. He sets up the laborers in the vineyard. He plants everything he wants in the vineyard. But when he shows up, you better give him the fruit. Yeah, that's how it works. That's inheritance. You better give him the fruit. Yeah, it belongs to him. So let me ask you a question. Do you even really fully understand what your inheritance is now? Let me point you back in the right direction. Your inheritance are the promises of God that he has made to us Christians in Christ Jesus. Every single one of those promises is your inheritance. That's why I said it's inexhaustible. But it takes the searching of the scriptures. It takes the reading of scripture for us to begin to grasp and understand all promises God has made us in Christ as our inheritance. And when you grasp it, Yes. Then you begin to give yourself what it takes. You invest your life according to the terms of the inheritance so that you can unlock the full value of that inheritance. Let me ask you again, how are you treating your inheritance? Let me ask you another question. What have you called your inheritance? What have you titled your inheritance? Did you say it's a land belonging to giants? Did you say it belongs to others and not you? Do you say there are wicked people in the land, so let's leave the land? Yet the land has your name according to God. The land has your name. The title has your name according to God. So how have you been treating your inheritance? Do you understand that forgiveness is an inheritance? Do you know that generosity is something we inherit from Christ? How have you been treating generosity? How generous have you been? Do you understand that it's an inheritance? That if you understand the terms of generosity and give yourself to that, that you will bear fruits for the kingdom of God. Do you know the fruit of the Spirit of God is our inheritance? But there are terms for us to walk in the fullness of it. Let me just ask you this one. Do you understand that by reason of God sending you to the church where you fellowship, that that church has become your inheritance? Do you know that? Do you understand that where you fellowship that God has sent you, that the people there are your inheritance just as you are their inheritance? Let me tell you something. When you begin to speak about your fellowship in this manner, you will never want to miss a day of fellowship. Why would you want to miss your inheritance? Why would you want to miss an opportunity to unlock the mysteries of your inheritance? Why? Can't you see? This is the mystery that is locked in this thing. I'm telling you, when you think about Hannah, and think about Eli, and think about the house of God. Now, God is not happy with Eli and his sons. God has determined he's going to wipe them out. Eli now just represents a shell of what he used to be. Eli is not the man of God that God called him to be. God is just waiting for a time and season to get rid of him. But yet Hannah was in that house of God. And she was so sorrowful. You got to understand the sorrow that was in Hannah's heart. And Hannah pleaded and begged with God. She almost appeared as if she was drunk out of her mind because of sorrow. And yet, in such a relationship, because she was in the house of God, Eli, that man that God had already rejected, could speak into her life, and Hannah conceived Samuel. What would have happened if Hannah did not show up in the house of God? Anywhere God puts you for fellowship, if you see it as your inheritance, and you go there and you express and serve in that place because it's your inheritance, according to the terms of your grace and your gifting, let me tell you, the pastor will pray for you, miracles will happen in your life. It's not because of how good the pastor is. It has no difference. It makes no difference how I am. What matters is you are not playing with your inheritance. And for the pastors, for those of us, when we begin to see the congregation as our inheritance, not people we abuse and use and spend all their money. No. As our inheritance, you know what? We cannot stop praying for them. We cannot stop laying hands on them. We cannot stop wishing them well. We will be investing ourselves in them so they can prosper. We will spend our own money for our congregants so that they can prosper. You know why? Because they are our inheritance. And we want to see our inheritance prosper. Brethren, that's how it works. Serving is your inheritance. So don't wait for someone to call you to serve. Serve with every opportunity you have because you're unlocking the mystery of your inheritance. You see, I want to say, I'm going to conclude with this. Again, the time we're living in is wicked. There's no doubt about it. There's unrest all over the world. No one knows what's going to happen. But I have this for you. If we can church, if we can operate on our inheritance, guess what's going to happen? We are going to be the light that this world needs now. We are going to be the shelter that they need. But we cannot abort the terms of the inheritance because it doesn't work that way. Because God knows the end of all things. So that when we reject the terms of the inheritance, we don't experience the full benefit of the inheritance. But the world needs shelter today. They need a refuge. Psalm 46 says that God is our refuge. Let me ask you a question. If God is your refuge, that means you have a refuge. That means that anyone who comes to you must experience your refuge. The world will come to us to experience our refuge. We have to, God being our refuge is our inheritance. Do you understand? God is your salvation, is your inheritance. It is yours. It's something you inherit from Him. God being your strength is your inheritance. So now if we walk in the terms of it, guess what's going to happen? The world will need refuge very soon. Very soon. There's going to be craziness and the world's going to need refuge. My prayer is that the church will be the brightness of truth so that the world can find refuge in Jesus Christ. God bless you.